I replaced all my Lululemon shorts with Bird Dogs. Bird Dog shorts do the exact same thing, but fit way better. They actually look like khaki shorts, so I can wear them all day, for my morning hike or bike ride to the bar. I can't stop wearing them. Join over 1 million guys who discovered the best shorts on the market. Go to birddogs.com/MLB and enter promo code baseball for a free baseball hat with your order. That's birddogs.com/MLB. Promo code baseball for a free hat. You won't want to take your Bird Dogs off. We promise you.
When the whole family comes together to watch the game, nobody wants to miss a second of the action to run to the grocery store. With Instacart, you can get all your weekly groceries in as fast as an hour. Less time shopping means more game time. Let's go. Visit instacart.com to get free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. $10 minimum per order. Additional terms apply.
All righty, Zach Gilb Show, CBS Sports Radio, hour number two of our radio program. So this Stephon Diggs story still makes no sense to me because I just don't know what is true and what is false. We know that he was there getting medical exams taken care of on Monday last week, which is just routine, right? You got to go get your physical done, all those things, medicals before you get ready to start the next year. And then on that Tuesday, he was in the building meeting with Sean McDermott, Brandon Bean, supposed to go to mandatory minicamp practice, doesn't end up going to the practice. We don't know if he stormed out, told him he wasn't going to the practice, or if they just told him, we don't want to deal with you anymore, you're being so ridiculous, just go home. All we know Tuesday that afternoon was Sean McDermott gets up to the podium shortly after it is reported that he's not there, and he goes, he's very concerned. And then the next day it was, let's all walk it back. Stephon Diggs shows up to practice. His agent says he was there throughout the entire time. Sean McDermott goes, oh, this thing has been blown out of proportion, blah, 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 blah. And then that Wednesday, the final day of that mandatory minicamp was canceled. So it wasn't as if it was canceled because of the distractions. A lot of teams, they cancel their final day of mandatory minicamp, and you go home and you get set, and then see you in a few weeks for training camp. Now, just because the Bills say there's nothing to see here and everything's fine doesn't mean that's actually what is reality. Because here's the part that I still don't get. Josh Allen said that it was something non-football related. And then Sean McDermott said that it was pretty much about targets when he tried to clarify, and Stephon Diggs' role in the offense when he tried to do the redo of the press conference. So what is it? And maybe there's multiple issues here. Maybe there's something going on between Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs, and then there's something going on between Stephon Diggs, Brandon Bean, and then in addition to that, the head football coach and Sean McDermott. So we're all trying to dig, and we're all trying to hope that someone spills the beans. Now, I don't know who said this to Ben Volen, but Ben Volen, who covers the NFL, he had a report over the weekend that Diggs' frustration is with his role in the offense and his voice in play calling per a league source close to the Bills locker room. And if that's the case, I'm not saying that Stephon Diggs' heart is in the wrong place, because the guy wants to win. And yes, he could have been utilized a lot better, especially in the playoffs. But at this point, what is going to get accomplished? And why wasn't this stuff smoothed over before you got to mandatory minicamp? So I don't know, and I'll question how good the communication is with Stephon Diggs and the Buffalo Bills right now. And this is going to be something that is going to be, I don't want to make it too dramatic, but it does feel like this is going to be an ambiguous dark cloud that is hanging over the locker room, where it could have a big storm, or maybe the storm will move away, the cloud will move away, and there won't be a lot of thunderstorms with a bunch of lightning as well. But if this is over him wanting to have more input on the offense and he wants to have more of a voice in play calling, Hickey, I know we've had disgruntled wide receivers before, but I've never heard of a wide receiver having a strong voice in play calling. That's for the quarterback usually, if it's any player, and the only player is quarterback. and the offensive coordinator and the head coach to figure out. So is this going to take like Josh Allen going to Ken Dorsey? Because remember, Sean McDermott, he's a defensive-minded coach. But is this going to take Josh Allen going to Ken Dorsey and saying, when we have some of our meetings, assuming if they have those, where the quarterback meets with the offense coordinator to figure out the game plan, let's include Stephon Diggs. But then the moment where Stephon Diggs doesn't like something that he's hearing, is he going to storm out again? That's, to me, something that I think is going to be a problem for Buffalo, where they may try to force feed Stephon Diggs to start the season to have this brush over. But if there's a game where he's not happy with his targets, is it going to be this reaction that we saw happen last week reiterate itself? And if that's the case, Stephon Diggs, who says he wants to win, and Stephon Diggs, who's clearly annoyed that the Bills haven't got over the hump, I need them all in. And if I'm the Buffalo Bills right now, if I'm a Bills fan, I am concerned, even though it's only June right now, because this is a huge year for Buffalo. They've been really close. Last year was Super Bowl or bust, and they failed miserably, getting embarrassed at home against the Cincinnati Bengals in the divisional round of the playoffs. If you can't find a way to right the wrong from last year, and you don't have everyone all in, especially the player, say what you want about Stephon Diggs, dude's a great player. And the Bills need him, because that locker room in the wide receiving room is not particularly strong outside of Gabe Davis and Stephon Diggs. But if you don't have Diggs all in, and let's say this gets to a point where he freaks out and then you got to suspend him because he quits on the team and goes down this road, then you got a huge problem, because this isn't the AFC East for the last 20 years where you knew if you were the best team, you would just win. You have a lot of good teams now in the AFC East. Buffalo's really damn good. The Dolphins, if Tua could stay healthy, have a ton of talent. The Jets just got Aaron Rodgers. The Patriots, even though I'm not a big believer in my football team, they still have Bill Belichick. And if you lose Stephon Diggs for a game or two, or if in the middle of the season it gets so bad where it's like, okay, we need to get him away from the team, the Bills need Stephon Diggs at his best if Buffalo wants to accomplish not only winning the AFC East again, but going on to dethrone Kansas City in the postseason or Cincinnati in the postseason. Because this is a loaded AFC East, and it is a even more so dominant AFC when you look at the conference. And you need, outside of Josh Allen, your best offensive player, Stephon Diggs, to be all in. And Hickey, I can't tell you right now that I have a lot of confidence, even though I think his heart is in the right place, that Stephon Diggs is going to be able to get through this season without a hiccup.
And that's why I think there's an immense amount of pressure now on really Sean McDermott more than anyone else, because you got to get Stephon Diggs in order, because you're right. There's no wide receiver in the league that has a say in play calling, because if that was the case, there would literally be no running plays. Just like if a running back had a say in play calling, there'd be no passing plays. There's a reason why it's the quarterback and the offensive coordinator that are the two most impactful voices when it comes to deciding what plays to call. You cannot open the door for a receiver, especially a guy like Stephon Diggs, who is emotional, and allow him to kind of skew one way, maybe get you out of what's working or get you out of your offensive rhythm altogether. So Sean McDermott has to get Stephon Diggs to somehow understand, play your role, we're going to get you the ball, don't worry, but when we ask you to either, you know, run block or when the ball's not going your way, we still need you all
in. Be a good teammate.
This is going to be a lot on Sean McDermott, a little on Ken Dorsey, but mostly on McDermott and Allen as well, to keep Diggs in check, because there cannot be any, you know, blow-ups this season.
But does Stephon Diggs have respect for those guys? Because clearly he thinks his voice has not been heard, and that's why I think he believes he had to take it to this level.
If he doesn't respect it, then again, that's a situation where I think you're right. We will see multiple blow-ups, and this season maybe could be derailed before it even starts, but if you're McDermott, you have to have the respect and have to have him understand why he needs to respect you.
And also, this is a copycat league. And if one receiver does this, you wonder if there's a domino effect. Where let's say if the Bills do cater to Stephon Diggs, and like, all right, you could have a seat in the game plan meetings and in the meetings that usually only quarterbacks go to with the offensive coordinator and sometimes the head coach to devise up the best game plan. And we'll give you more of a voice in play calling. Stephon Diggs right now makes $24 million a year. The wide receiving money is only skyrocketing. Tyreek Hill, $30 million. Devontae Adams, $28 million. Cooper Kupp, $26 million. A.J. Brown, $25 million. DK Metcalf, $24 million. Debo Samuel, almost $24 million. Terry McLaurin, $23 million. Wait until you see Justin Jefferson's next deal. Outside of quarterback, which we always know is an enormous salary, the average per year salary for wide receivers is off the chart. Like, we've never seen it before. And I wonder if any other wide receivers that get annoyed with the play calling start to kind of, if it works for Stephon Diggs, take a page out of his playbook. And if you're Tyreek Hill, maybe say, hey, Mike McDaniel, I want to be a part of your meeting where you get ready to figure out how we're going to run this offense. And if that's the case, I think it becomes a trickery slope. Because you even look at the quarterback, right? Rahicki, we even say, like, okay, we understand why a quarterback would want to be in on the game plan meeting. Look at Aaron Rodgers. He was at the Packers. He wanted to say in personnel. And Aaron Rodgers, as great of a quarterback he is, the guys that he wanted retained in Green Bay, when they left Green Bay, it's not like they had a lot of great success. So just because you're a great player doesn't mean you know how to best call the offense and doesn't mean you know the best personnel or who will be the best personnel to get the best 11 on the field so you guys can go win as many games as possible. So we're really going to learn a lot about two guys that I like a lot in Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott on how they're going to figure this out and try to nip this right now in the bud so it's not a big issue when the season starts. Because time right now is the best friend for the Buffalo Bills because they're lucky this isn't September. Because this will now start to fade away a little bit after this week. Training camp will start back up. Whenever Stephon Diggs first addressed reporters, it will be asked about. And if Stephon Diggs handles this the right way, it will start to go away and it will not become an issue again until we see him act out. And I can't sit here and tell you that this won't be an issue because it kind of seems like regardless of what Buffalo does in the regular season, it really doesn't matter. And I hate to say that in the NFL because every game in the NFL matters, but Buffalo's now been one of those teams, Hickey, where we've seen them be so good in the regular season and we've seen them beat Kansas City twice in the regular season where it's not that they could really do anything in the regular season that thoroughly impresses me. Like, if Buffalo's the number one seed this year, don't get me wrong, good for them. You want home field advantage throughout the playoffs. But I got to see them step their game up and take their game to the next level come postseason time. And it's only getting tougher. It's only getting trickier because this AFC got better from where it was last year and was pretty damn good last year. You know Mahomes can win a Super Bowl without Tyreek Hill. You know Burrow can get to a Super Bowl. We'll see who else breaks out. But Buffalo has been given that tag of like the third team in the AFC. And I can't sit here and tell you without a doubt right now, Hickey, that they are the third best team on paper and will be the third best team this upcoming year in the NFL. Like, maybe the Chargers take that next step. Maybe Denver bounces back. Jacksonville, I like them a lot. You look inside the AFC East, if Tua stays healthy, what's the effect of Aaron Rodgers? There's a lot of teams that you look at in the AFC that are right there for making a run. And if you're Buffalo, you haven't closed the gap. You've done a heck of a job. But are you going to need a change to be made after this year to take your team to the next level? Or are the guys in the locker room and the coach in the locker room, who I like, and the general manager, who I like, that formed this team, are they good enough to win a championship? Because the way that they're currently constructed, you can make a case that they can be in the Super Bowl this year. But if you have Diggs being an issue throughout the season, and let's say Diggs isn't all in and he's frustrated, are you going to get the best version of Stephon Diggs? And if you don't get the best version of Stephon Diggs, this team ain't winning squat. Because outside of Josh Allen and Von Miller, he's the most valuable player on that team, Hickey.
And if he can't get on the same page, also, too, we've seen, especially in the NFL, when it's just one game, all that pressure in the playoffs, you kind of saw it last year in that Bengals game when Diggs is going at Allen. If there is a fracture in the, you know, in the relationship, or not everyone's on the same page, or there's still frustration, that usually boils to a head at the biggest pressure points, which is usually the playoffs. So they can even still get through the regular season. And if Diggs is still, for whatever reason, not all in and not on the same page, or not okay with the explanation as to why he cannot be more involved and cannot get basically the ball more than he already has, I think we'll really see that rear its ugly head come playoff time, and probably, kind of like it did in Cincinnati, result in an ugly playoff loss where we saw the Bills score, was it 10 points?
Yeah.
One of the lowest outputs they've put out in a while. Looking back now, it's not exactly an accident or coincidence that one of their worst offensive outings also comes when their star receiver, you can kind of see towards the end of the game, gets very frustrated and makes a demonstrable show of his frustration towards Josh Allen.
And then also, primetime games even make this a greater issue. Where you look at, remember the Broncos last year? We all know Nathaniel Hackett was in over his head. And Russell Wilson was a disaster last year. But they had so many early primetime games, or even when they were just on CBS, and I think it was Andrew Catalan who was talking about the play clock and poking fun at them. Things like that matter. And I'll forget about the postseason. I'll forget about January football. How about week one? Monday night football. One Monday night football game to open up the year. Bills at the Jets. Imagine if Josh Allen throws a few interceptions. Imagine if Stephon Diggs doesn't get his proper targets. And let's say the Jets with Aaron Rodgers, they win like 31-20. And Diggs is just doing what we see all the time, right? A wide receiver yell at a quarterback, a quarterback yell at a wide receiver, an offense coordinator yell at a quarterback. That could make this a bigger issue than what it already is now. If that first game doesn't go their way, you know that media storm is coming on a Tuesday, Hickey, where they wonder if there's trouble in paradise with the Buffalo Bills.
Up until last week when this, you know, whole MIA situation happened with Stephon Diggs, we were talking about that game from the Jets' perspective.
Yeah.
About national TV, if Aaron Rodgers struggles, Boo Bird's coming out.
Rodgers will still be the biggest story.
Is over. But you're right, from the other side, Rodgers looks good, Jets look good, all of a sudden Bills don't look that great on offense. It's now, because of the story, it's... Now, maybe there's more panic and more intrigue on the Bills than there would have been if Diggs was there and kind of kept this all under the rug.
Let me ask you this. What do you think is more likely week one? Rodgers has a terrible debut for the Jets, where he throws a few interceptions, doesn't play well, they lose the game, or Stephon Diggs and the Bills lose that game, and he's unhappy walking off the field because Allen throws a few interceptions and he didn't like his targets. What's more likely in your opinion right now?
I still say the Jets and Aaron Rodgers playing bad compared to the Bills playing bad.
Are you not in on the Jets this year?
No.
Do you think they make the playoffs?
I do not.
You don't think they make the playoffs?
I do not think they make the playoffs.
Wow.
I don't think this is going to go as quickly as people think.
I think the Jets will make the playoffs, but it's not inconceivable to say that they're going to miss the playoffs. So who's your AFC East winner? You're still Buffalo?
I will still right now go Buffalo. Yes, sir.
AFC North, you go Cincinnati.
Cincinnati.
South, you take Jacksonville.
Jacksonville.
And the AFC West, what are you taking, the Broncos again?
I will go with the Chiefs. I've learned my lesson. I'll go with Kansas City.
Okay. So right now, I know I've asked you this a few times, but it could change from time to time. As I'm surprised that you don't have the Jets as one of your three wildcard teams. Who are your three wildcard teams today on June 19th? Subject to change potentially.
Broncos, Browns.
Ooh.
And I will, this is the team I'm going with back and forth with the Jets on. I will go with the Dolphins.
Not the Chargers.
I think the Dolphins have a lot of talent. I'm worried about Tua's health.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. But right now, I shouldn't. I will take the gamble right now. He is healthier than not.
Yeah, I think the Chargers are a big omission. I also think the Jets are a big omission as well. I think if you want to tell me one of those teams don't make the playoffs, okay. Both of those teams not making the playoffs? Yeah. I just can't see that one. Both, like the Chargers, they have so much. I know their coach could be an idiot, but they have so much talent. If Justin Herbert's healthy, I got to think that they're going to make the playoffs.
Well, so you look in the AFC, we'll take the Broncos out, fine, because I'm higher than the most. The Browns have a lot of talent. Jets have a lot of talent. Dolphins have a lot of talent. Like, it's like the AFC is a gauntlet where, yeah, the Chargers have a lot of talent, but so do even the teams that are fighting for the final wild card berth.
Chargers have a much better roster than the Broncos, but we'll have to wait and see. Sean Payton is a heck of a football coach, as we know. It is Zach Gilb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We will take a break. When we come on back, I don't get what David Freese is doing. We'll get to that on the other side.
Do you hear that? That is the sound of BMW performance without a single piston or cylinder. A generation of all-electric vehicles designed and built like no other. The BMW iX, i7, and i4 revolutionize every drive into a thrilling opportunity to feel the pure rush of BMW 100% electric. But isn't that what you'd expect from the ultimate electric driving machine? Take advantage of exceptional lease and finance offers today.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
So Jimmy Butler and David Freese must be best friends. Remember? We had Jimmy Butler in the midst of the NBA Finals said to Jared Greenberg, NBA on TNT, that if he ever got inducted into the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame, which Jimmy Butler will, that he's not going. And he would not care for the honor because it's an individual honor. And he's all about the team. Now, I do think when Jimmy Butler gets inducted into the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame that he will show up to his ceremony. I think like a guy by the name of Dwayne Wade, who he's very close with, will get in his ear and will say, you need to go to this. But I didn't even think that was ever a thought. You know, I know T.O. did it because he was annoyed that he was shunned from the Pro Football Hall of Fame for so many years, which was ridiculous. T.O. should have been a first ballot Hall of Famer. But to not go to a Hall of Fame induction ceremony, one that you're a part of, that just makes no sense to me. Now, it is also different when you get inducted into a team's Hall of Fame. Because if you are inducted into a team's Hall of Fame, you don't need to be an all-time great player. You just need to do something impactful for that team. Because, Hickey, how many guys in sports have a singular moment or a few good years with the team that win a championship, and it's not as if they're an all-time great player where we need to now make the case for David Freese to be inducted into Cooperstown, but a guy that won a championship in St. Louis and was an NLCS MVP and a World Series MVP is definitely deserving of being in the team's Hall of Fame or getting his number retired, like whatever the honor is. But from my understanding of this, Hickey, that the fans, I guess, voted him in, and I'll get to his explanation in a second, but he said, thanks but no thanks, because he knows what the meaning is to have a red coat and what the honor is. That's what I guess they give the people going into the team's Hall of Fame. They give him a red jacket. Makes sense. St. Louis Cardinals. And he doesn't think he's deserving of it. I think that's an obnoxious level of being humble. And an obnoxious level of being an organization guy. If the fans want you in, it's not like you're Joe Schmo. When they were down to their final out, their final strike in the World Series in Game 6, you had the tying hit, and then in extra innings, you had the walk-off home run. You won an NLCS MVP and a World Series MVP, Hickey. David Freese definitely is deserving. And I know you have so many great players and you don't want to water down the honor, but he's definitely deserving of going into the Cardinals Hall of Fame. I don't get this one.
Especially if the fans vote you in. Like, they obviously want to see you in. And again, the majority, like, it's a big fan base who knows the history very well.
Good fans.
Right. Like, if they don't think, look, if you just think you're a one-hit wonder and, oh, it's just one postseason, whatever, sure, fans will look back on you kindly, but probably wouldn't vote for you for the Hall of Fame. I would trust fans voting that they would take their own team's Hall of Fame seriously. This is, I truly don't get it. I honestly don't get it whatsoever. Even if he truly wasn't deserving of it, and we said that on the outside, the fans vote you in, you take it. You take the honor when you can get it. I don't get this. It's not a macho man. It's like a, right, an absurd use of humility. I don't get it.
That's what it's the obnoxious level of being like the ultimate humble team dude. Now, if you look back at David Freese, so he once again, World Series champion, World Series MVP, NLCS MVP, all in 2011. in 2012 made the All-Star team. He was with the Cardinals on the big league level from 2009 to 2013. I know that this guy isn't, you don't associate him with one of the greatest Cardinals player ever, but he did significant things. He's a hero in St. Louis. And this is what he said. He said, "This is something that I've given an extreme amount of thought to humbly, even before the voting process began. I'm aware of the impact I had helping the team bring great memories to the city I grew up in, including the 11 championship, but this honor means more to me," said Freeze. "I look at who I was during my tenure, and that weighs heavily on me. The Cardinals and the entire city have always had my back in every way. I'm forever grateful to be part of such an amazing organization and fan base then, now, and in the future," continued Freeze. "I'm especially sorry to the fans that took the time to cast their votes. Cardinal Nation is basically the reason why I've unfortunately waited so long for this decision and made it more of a headache for so many people. I feel strongly about my decision and understand how people might feel about this. I get it. I'll wear it. Thank you for always being there for me, and I'm excited to be around the Cardinals as we move forward." I don't look at this and say, "Oh, respect. Oh, David Freeze, what a great guy." This is just nonsense to me. I know that you're not one of the greatest Cardinals ever, but you are a hero for that team. Like, you had great moments. I just don't get why you would say thanks but no thanks to go into the team's Hall of Fame.
It's also not like they're retiring as like that's the greatest honor a team can do, right? Retire number. They're not retiring 23. They're putting you in the Hall of Fame. It's like the second tier of honoring someone who's had a huge impact on the team. And I would say, even though it was a short tenure, winning and helping basically almost single-handedly win the Cardinals the World Series back in 2011, in and of itself is enough to put you in the Hall of Fame. It brought so many fans great memories. They're now retiring 23. It's just another way to keep history alive and remember what was a great postseason and one of the best postseason runs we've seen from a player in general.
And one of the great World Series ever.
Right.
And you don't have to be Stan the Man and in the class of Bob Gibson or Albert Pujols or Ozzie Smith or whoever it may be to get into the Cardinals Hall of Fame. Like, there's different levels of it. No one's sitting here advocating for David Freeze to go into Cooperstown. But, yeah. Definitely a Cardinal that's deserving to be in the team's Hall of Fame. Not only did you win a World Series, you were the MVP of the World Series and the round prior to that. Marco, you're usually good at understanding people, I will say. Do you get what David Freeze is doing here?
There's a difference between being humble and being ridiculous.
This is ridiculous.
We crossed the line here. This is one of those where you look at it, and I think in his mind, he looks at it as, I'm not good enough to be with some of the other guys.
Mm-hmm.
That may be fair. That may be true. However, you were a big part of this organization and winning a championship. And more importantly, the fans voted you in. Even if you truly don't believe in being humble, that you should have your name next to somebody else or a moniker next to some of the greats, and I'm not Albert Pujols and all that stuff. Bottom line, you say thank you and you move on. That's a simple thing.
So I guess this is the best comparison that we can make here, or just kind of like dumb it down for people. Like, there's a Radio Hall of Fame, and I don't think any of us in this room ever expect to get inducted into the Radio Hall of Fame. But like, let's say there's a CBS Sports Radio Hall of Fame, and no one's going to look at any of us and say, oh, this guy was on level with Jim Rome or DA or whoever would be in the class of the Hall of Fame. But if the fans voted one of us in and we sat there and go, man, I know I was never going to get in the Radio Hall of Fame, but then CBS Sports Radio had a Hall of Fame, and the fans voted us in. But you know what? I'm not in the same class of a Jim Rome or a DA or Brian Jones, like all the people that hosted here, or an Eric Spitz, who was the station's first program director. Someone's got to go up to him before you go public with that and go, dude, just take the honor. The fans voted you in.
You know, it's almost like somebody to tell you that. And I have problems with this sometimes, too. Accepting, any
praise.
Any of that. Sometimes you just got to say thank you. And in your head, you go, I'm not worthy of this necessarily.
Yeah.
Tough. Just swallow it, smile, say thank you, be appreciative, which I believe he is.
Mm-hmm.
I truly believe David Freeze is appreciative, but I think he sat down and thought this out way too far. No, you're not Stan Musial. No, you're not Albert Pujols, but no one is telling you that you are. We're not putting you in that category. We're putting you in the Cardinals Hall of Fame, where they're just trying to honor you and your small part.
Yeah.
They're not making it bigger than what it is. You just made this bigger than what it is by not accepting it. All you had to do was say thank you. And when they had the ceremony and they had the red jacket that they were going to put on you and all that stuff, you could be thinking to yourself, man, I don't truly deserve this. And this is an honor that's too much for me. You swallow it, you smile, you're appreciative. And then later down the road, you look back and you go, that was really cool.
Yeah. And maybe there's a bunch of events in St. Louis. I don't know if he's currently working with the organization. He said something about looking forward, about doing things with the organization, things like that. And I hate to just judge someone by their social media, but this is what I'm going to do. Maybe he just doesn't like the spotlight, because his last tweet up until he commented about this was on June 29th in 2022. So maybe this is a guy that just is so low-key.
Yeah, no, I'm not buying that.
And doesn't want any honors, but...
I'm not buying that. Did you accept the trophy for the MVP?
Exactly.
I'm not buying that. It's 5 minutes out of your night.
It's stupid.
Stop. Look, again, there is a lot of... let's say, and the Yankees are one of those teams that don't have a Hall of Fame. Seems like they retire everybody's number. They don't have a Hall of Fame. Let's say they did, and it was like a small little museum, right? And they said, Scott Brosius, we would like to have you inducted into that. And he goes, you know what? Look, man... I'm not Babe Ruth. I'm not Lou Gehrig. I'm not Derek Jeter. No, you're not. But you had a small part in a dynasty, and you were an MVP in 1998 and were amazing in the World Series. We would just like to honor that. Plus, you had a big moment in the 2001 World Series. Simple as that.
Let me ask you this. Now, I know that Harold Baines, right, got elected into Cooperstown. A lot
right.
of people were annoyed
right.
with that. David Freeh's never going to get a call to Cooperstown.
No.
But let's just say, for this sake, if he got the call to Cooperstown.
He's taking it.
What you would think
you have
would take
to,
it.
And you know, and honestly, if you're standing up there and going, I don't deserve to be with the rest of these guys, but damn it, I'm going to take it.
I think a lot of people respect that,
which is the same concept of what this is. You can stand there and say, I don't deserve to be in this category. However, thank you. Mm-hmm. It's as simple as that. When you made it bigger than what it needed to be, and that's unfortunate because now you basically told the fans to go screw, and that's not cool.
By the way, I'm very distracted right now. Because Mariah Mills, who is the gal who is very upset with Zion Williamson, she is still tweeting. This is her latest tweet that just got retweeted on my timeline. I do not follow her.
Really? I was going to say.
Yeah.
So you're a big follower, eh?
Sean Sharif does a great
big
job.
Big fan of her work, huh?
She's a good personality, let me tell you. But Sean Sharif from the fan in Dallas, who's been on this show before, he retweeted her. So maybe we'll check his history. NBA, this is from Mariah Mills. NBA, I have sex tapes of me and Zion Williamson, and he also has them on his trap phone. Tags the NBA and the Pelicans. Trade him now. He doesn't deserve to be in New Orleans. The sex tape dropping soon. Now, I'll just say this. If it's just a video of you having sex with him, and there's nothing more to that, like nothing violent or anything along those lines... Who cares if Zion Williamson is just having sex? That's not a reason why, oh, the Pelicans now got to trade him. If it goes to a different level, then that's a different conversation. But for this to be some threat, if all you guys are doing is sleeping with one another, I don't understand this story anymore.
I mean, again, the embarrassment is what she's going for. Why he would need to be traded off that really has nothing to do with anything. Does he necessarily want that out there? I would imagine he does not. However, we don't know that. So I
would assume he wouldn't.
I wouldn't think so. You never know. I don't know. Yeah. Everybody thinks differently. What the hell do I know? I would have thought David Freeze would have took the Hall of Fame honor and moved on. But what the hell do I know? That's not a trade him scenario. I mean, really, what's the blackmail involved in this?
And maybe like the Pelicans do end up trading him. But I heard Brian Windhorst last week goes, there's a lot of drama around Zion this offseason. There's reasons to trade Zion Williamson. The guy never plays. But if you go, oh, he's sleeping with multiple women, we have to trade him. A lot of people are going to have to be traded in the NBA.
No, that's nonsense. No. It's just the idea of him not playing and not wanting to be there. That's the problem. That's the issue. That's what the Pelicans need to decide. Do they want to move forward and think that he's eventually going to come back and be healthy and be content? Or are some of these injuries maybe because he just doesn't feel like getting on the court for New Orleans? That's what they have to figure out, not because they're going to worry about what his personal life is.
And now she's also tweeting, I'm done tweeting Zion Williamson. See you in court. How can you just release that tape?
Look, I don't know.
You're not a legal analyst.
Yeah, I'm not going to sit here and start. I'm going into waters that are beyond me. The idea of dropping all that, like, I don't know. I feel like you could wind up getting sued if you put it out there, if you don't have, consent. I don't know enough of that stuff, nor do I really want to get involved with Zion and whatever her name is. And
Mariah Mills.
Whatever the hell's going on in that situation.
It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Do you hear that? That is the sound of BMW performance without a single piston or cylinder. A generation of all-electric vehicles designed and built like no other. The BMW iX, i7, and i4 revolutionize every drive into a thrilling opportunity to feel the pure rush of BMW 100% electric. But isn't that what you'd expect from the ultimate electric driving machine? Take advantage of exceptional lease and finance offers today.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
You can think of O'Reilly Auto Parts for your car care needs. Get guaranteed low, 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 low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. So Draymond Green has opted out of his contract, $27.5 million. There's still a belief from multiple people that Draymond Green will wind back up in the Bay Area with the Golden State Warriors. But Hickey, I took a look at the gambling lines right now and the sports books. Could you guess the five highest odds and the five highest teams, I mean, to land Draymond Green?
I cheated. I looked at it before. I can give you the top three.
Top four. I like when you prepare. I'm usually used to you being like, all right, lackadaisical in the gambling.
Warriors, Lakers, Mavericks, Suns. Which I don't know how the Suns are in the top five. That to me makes zero sense. Unless Draymond's going for the vet minimum. How are they adding him?
I don't know how the heck that they would do that. Clearly DeAndre Ayton's going to be on his way out of town. But I guess just the idea of, okay, you get rid of DeAndre Ayton and you bring in Draymond Green. But from a money standpoint, especially with how confusing the new CBA is and how all these teams are going to have to shed a lot of salary, I don't get how that they would find a way to make that work. And clearly Draymond Green, by turning down the $27.5 million, thinks he's going to get a big fat payday from someone.
I guess if you're the Suns, right, maybe if you move Ayton and they just say, screw it, we'll blow it all up and just blow through the salary cap, $500 million, who cares? Maybe you go for Draymond, which they could use actually Draymond Green, but yeah, the Suns are an interesting one.
But the Suns could use him because they'll play defense, and they're going to need some defense. So if I give you the team, you tell me if you would want Draymond Green. At plus 150, it's the Golden State Warriors. He stays with the Golden State Warriors. Your thoughts on that?
I still think the Warriors could use him, yes. I would.
Why could they use him?
I would move Clay over Draymond. I still think he's the leader of that team. Steph is not like a vocal leader. He'd get in your face. Draymond still holds guys accountable. I do think despite a lot of negatives and stupidity and missing time because of suspensions, he still is the glue and the heartbeat to that team.
I would much rather have Klay Thompson over Draymond Green. But the decision is really, do you want Draymond or do you want Jordan Poole? And I personally, in the year of 2023, not what they've done in the past, but what I can anticipate from the future, think there's a higher upside to Jordan Poole than Draymond Green.
If it's those two, I'm with you. Yes, take the future, take the more talented player in Jordan Poole and hope he, with Draymond's exit and a bad year, he learns from it.
Well, do you think that they can coexist at this point, Jordan Poole and Draymond Green? Because it seems like you think they can if you're saying bring back Draymond Green. I don't see a way how you have both those guys in the same locker room again next year.
I don't. To Jordan Poole, he said the right things after the season, but that's also, you know, media talk.
There's also one thing where I could sit there and tell you, oh, I love this guy. And, oh, I'll definitely work with this person. And we'll be fine. And then, behind the scenes, you hate that person's guts. How many times does that happen in a place of work where you say you like someone, and then the next thing you know, that person is not in front of you, or you're not talking about someone publicly, and then you start trashing them behind the scenes? Happens all the time in any place of work. Everyone has that person in their work office that they can't stand, and they think they get treated Miss Fairley, let's just say. There's always that type of person. And you may say, yeah, I like that person. And they walk away, talk to someone else, you're like, yeah, can't stand that person.
I don't think you'd have Jordan Poole and Draymond Green on the same team. That's just me. And if I'm the Golden State Warriors, I would side with Jordan Poole because Draymond Green, it's just simple. The juice isn't worth the squeeze anymore for me when I look at it. All right, how about the Lakers? You know Draymond Green. I think this would be a great question. You get Draymond Green on a lie detector test. Would you rather go to Golden State or Los Angeles Lakers? It seems like he loves LeBron James most out of anyone in the NBA these days.
He loves LeBron. I would agree. If it's one or the other, I think he would go to LeBron.
I just don't see how that works right now. If you have Anthony Davis and Draymond Green on the same team.
Oh, I can see it working. I think that's what they need. They need him to hold AD in check. Those games where he checks out, where he's not all in, Draymond would get in his face.
Okay, fine. But to have both of them on the basketball court in the last 5 minutes, that doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Well, why?
I think it's too many people in the paint.
Well, Draymond's not really a paint player. He spreads it out. He's more of a passer. He's obviously not a scorer, so you don't got to worry about him taking shots. And AD is a perimeter game. He could shoot the three.
Yeah, but I know that Anthony Davis can shoot the basketball. I just think that's too many bigs on one team.
Definitely not like Rudy Gobert and Cat. I don't think it's a fit.
Yeah, okay, that's worse, but I don't think it's a real fit. If you're trying to get them closer to win a championship, I don't see how Anthony Davis playing alongside Draymond Green with LeBron James as well is a group that I feel great about going out there winning a championship. What about the Mavericks? The Mavericks, you know, are going to bring back Kyrie Irving. Kyrie's going to run out of destinations. There's not going to be enough interest. Kyrie will go back there. Could you imagine you have Kyrie and Draymond on the same team? Those press conferences would be must-see, Hickey. It would be crazy.
From an intrigue and our perspective, I'm in. From a radio perspective, the Mavericks would be, I think, the most fascinating team. Definitely be playing post-game press clippings all show.
How quickly will you want Luka Doncic to force a trade? 855-212-4CBS if that ends up happening. What about the Rockets? Any interest there, Rockets?
No.
Heat? No. I think you need a score.
Yeah, they already got a culture.
If you're telling me that's the big move Portland does, if you go on out and you get Dame, if you go out there and get Draymond for Dame, that's not really improving those chances. Oh, here's a team. Plus 2,500. I know you've been floating this team out to the Memphis Grizzlies.
That's the team I think that needs them the most. They need them.
It's
they
weird
need an enforcer.
Because Draymond, even though he could be a pain in the ass, he is a respected voice in the NBA, and he is a leader. Now, there's sometimes he leads the wrong way, and he gets under the skin of people and then elicits a bad reaction, and then he's not held accountable for leading the wrong way. But that is a team, man, that would be a heel move, especially with the history between those two teams, how much they've gone back and forth. If Draymond just says, "Oh, I bleep the Warriors, I'm going to Memphis to try to show John Morant how to act like an adult."
I guess you could spin it from Draymond's perspective of, oh, I'm taking Dylan Brooks' role and take that, Dylan. Like, I'll show you what a real player leader is, what a real champion looks like.
I don't know. I know that he's not afraid to talk smack, and we've seen him talk smack before to Dylan Brooks, but I feel like he's above that now to have to triple and quadruple down on the smack talk to Brooks. So who knows where he's going to be playing next year. Zach Gilb Show, CBS Sports Radio, Onside Offside next.
Walk the dogs, school drop-off, meetings from 10 to 3, take kids to soccer, then no time left for a jog.
When everyone else is relying on you, it's easy to put your needs last. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online, so you can show up for yourself the way you do for others. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/positive.